from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. That day David first committed to Asaph and his associates this psalm of thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wondrous acts. Glorify his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength, seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Israel, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. All the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these words of praise. We thank you that the words that David gave, we pray that you would help us to have hearts of thanks and praise, especially on this Sunday when we focus so much on preparing our hearts for a holiday that is about being thankful to you. Thank you now, we pray in your name. Amen. Please be seated. This is, of course, our traditional Thanksgiving service, although for quite some years we did this service or a variation on this service back the evening before Thanksgiving. And what we discovered is, for various reasons, not a lot of people came. Some of it was being out at night, and a lot of people don't like to drive at night. And some of it was a fair amount of people got the jump on travel to go and see family, and so they would either be packing and wanting to get an early start so they wouldn't be coming out Wednesday evening. Sometimes they'd already left to go see family Wednesday evening. For a lot of reasons, it just wasn't that big of a grabber for people. So we instead moved it to Sunday before Thanksgiving. And I think that works a little bit better, plus there's more people to eat the pie. So that's always a good thing. But one of the things that we have always done is we have invited people to mention things that they're thankful for in three different basic categories. The first one, of course, is we give thanks to God for Jesus and the difference that he has made in your life, right? And, of course, you could say, well, I give thanks to God for the other things he's given. I'm talking specifically about you may have known who you were before coming to know him, and you could plot where you'd be afterwards. Or it may end up being that you've grown up in faith, but you could see a difference. But I just like to ask, is there anything specific that you would like to give thanks to God for, specifically in his working in your heart and in your mind? Yes, sir.
I give thanks to God for you because you preach the truth, nothing but the truth.
Well, I try to anyway, yeah. Thanks be to God there. Okay. The word, right? And hearing the word. Yeah, what else? Can you say that you're a better person and a different person because you know Jesus Christ? Can you be thankful for stuff that's not there? You don't have to get specifics on this. Right? Can you be thankful for stuff that's not a part of who you are because of Jesus Christ? Yeah, right? Do you have a hope that this very strange and disturbing place is not the end because of Jesus Christ? Absolutely, right? Do you have a better sense as to how to relate to all of this that you live in because you know the owner? I would think so. So do we have cause, and can we acknowledge we got cause to give thanks to God for Him working in our lives? Yeah, that's first and foremost, right? Okay. We also give thanks to God for our homes and our families. Is there any part of your own life that you'd specifically like to mention? Some member of your family or just some gift that you have pointing to family at this time? We open it up and we don't always hear from people, and that's all right. But yes, Ken.
Thanks for my dad. As he's aging, and he's got some dementia going on, but he's still there. He's still, still can have conversations. But just thinking back to, how he died in your life, and as an example for me, this Christian walk.
Sure.
And my mom was passed on 10 years ago or so. What an example of a Christian walk.
Yep. Absolutely. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I'm thankful for my mom who just passed away, but it's funny how often you think of her, she kept in contact with so many people and cared for so many, and just hearing that over and over from others and stuff. And
yep. Yes, Ken.
I'm thankful for Anne, who's a great mother, grandmother, in a way.
Yeah.
She always put family first.
Yeah. And that's huge, isn't it? Any others? Yes, Peter.
I'm always thankful for my brother.
I can understand that. Brothers are a gift, even if they could be a challenge at times, aren't they?
Yeah. Yep.
I can echo that. In fact, you know that song that the kids were singing earlier? Right? I got a memory of my brother, actually, church choir when I was really pretty young, singing that song. And my brother, they handed the mic around to different animals. My brother sang, "If I Were an Elephant, I Thank You, Lord, by Raising My Trunk." I was just thinking about that. That's a brother I haven't seen in 10 years, but I'm looking forward to seeing again. Yep. So... any others? Yes, ma'am.
I'm thankful for all the prayer warriors.
Sure.
In church and all churches, basically. Because people from multiple churches were praying for shows.
The gift of the family of God. Mm-hmm. And the various people helping to lead the family of God, as well as the various people who just are stepping up and praying and just we're pulling together. It's a lot of people who don't have a whole lot pulling for them, It makes a difference. It made a difference to me in the hospital when I was having my fun with the plague, knowing just how many people were praying for me. It was huge. Any others? Yes, sir.
I was thankful for my wife.
Sure.
She's so, rock solid in her faith. And she does a great job with her kids. I mean, my job, I travel so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's quite a gift. That's good to give thanks for. That's great. Yes, Sue.
I want to give thanks for my husband who sticks with me through.
Yeah. Yeah. Reasons to be thankful. And I would encourage you to let more of those stir up. And then last of all, we give thanks to God for our nation, our government, and those who serve on our behalf. Is America a good place to live? Contrary to what you have been told repeatedly by the news media for quite some time, America is a great place to live. Okay? Do we have problems? Yeah, and a lot of people make a lot of noise out of it, but in many senses, I think it's kind of like a tooth that is achy. It's not that big a thing, but your whole life revolves around it until it's dealt with. That's not to say we don't have more fundamental problems than just a toothache, but I think a dose of perspective. We enjoy a huge amount of freedom in this country. We enjoy an insane amount of prosperity in this country. That's a gift. It's a gift from God. And we have people who serve on our behalf, right? And we've got people who are emergency workers and those who are in the armed forces. We've got lots, right? Anyone care to mention anything in particular on that? So, okay, let's briefly pray, because we always do take a moment and give thanks. So let's pray briefly. Lord God, we do thank you for, first of all, the difference that you've made in our heart and souls. And I pray you would help us to continue to lean into you as the times are cold and scary. But thank you for that changing work that you've brought about in our own hearts and minds. Thank you for peace with you. It's all about you. It's not about us, Lord, but thank you that you love us so much and you do so much. Lord, we thank you for our homes and families. We thank you for people who have been great spiritual examples. We thank you for the gift of children. We thank you for their presence as well. We thank you for moms who go the distance, dads who go the distance, and a host of other things, host of other people. Lord, we thank you for your truth that you have given us in the family of God. I thank you for such a godly group of people to be a part of. I thank you for faithful deacons, council members of various kinds. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of being able to be a family together. Lord, we also give you thanks for this country, and I pray that you would turn it to some greater sensibility than it's showing right now. But right now, Lord, in the midst of it all, we give you thanks for what we've got. And we thank you for how well we do have things here. We thank you and we praise you for our leaders. We pray that they would be given greater wisdom. But we pray most of all that they would know you and that there would be hope in you. We pray on this day for emergency workers. Lord, we pray for police officers that you help them to be affirmed and encouraged. Lord, we thank you for those who serve in the armed forces. We pray for your blessing on all of these. We thank you and we praise you for the gift of each of these and all these things in turn. We lift these words of thanksgiving to you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's Thanksgiving time. And I don't know if you've seen Linus talking about Thanksgiving recently or not. In our house, actually, Linus is a guest at Thanksgiving every year. And he will probably be a guest at Thanksgiving even if the year comes that it's just Joy and I. Because we're like that. And so Linus will tell you, ours was the first country in the world to make a national holiday for giving thanks. And so I will tell you every time I have the chance to do a Thanksgiving service, no, he's wrong. that's our own propaganda. Ours is the first modern country in the world to do this. That's true. But actually, if you look at the nation that God set up, the Feast of Pentecost was the Thanksgiving festival for the early harvest. And the Feast of Tabernacles, or Booths, was the second Thanksgiving feast that they would have. They had two per year. One was a big nationwide camp out for a week. So, no, we weren't the first, but we're following in a good tradition. Now, you all know about that good tradition because you know about the Pilgrim Thanksgiving, right? Everyone got dressed up in their postcard greeting shoes and it was the first turkey and stuffing, right? No. Well, okay, there's some details behind this, but this is part of our national heritage, isn't it? Yeah. And, in fact, it becomes part of the bedrock of a lot of other things that are part of our national heritage. I listen to a lot of old-time radio because so much of modern media is just kind of annoying to me. And it's interesting because that first hymn, even, that we sang, "We Gather Together to Ask the Lord's Blessing," it's amazing how many times in older moments from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, even radio programming around Thanksgiving, you'll hear that hymn actually played instrumentally in the background because it naturally just is a part or has been a part of our nation's heritage of giving thanks to God. Now, the pilgrims gathered to give thanks to God their first harvest. Let's just get a few details right. This is the context that caused them to give thanks. They had lost about half of their original number. They had buried 50% of the people who came with them on the Mayflower by this time. Ugh. They lived in simple mud and stick huts now, and not every family necessarily had their own space fully put together. Okay? Many of them were still very far from family and loved ones, and they were very deep in debt. Why? Because it was expensive to come there. The Massachusetts colony had struck a deal. It was a bit different than the Jamestown and Southern colonies. They had a buyout option. If in 7 years they could make enough profit to pay themselves off, they could gain control of their own colony. And they were actually, I believe, the only one that actually managed to do that. So that was not them, though, at this point. They'd lost half of their people. They were living in simple mud and stick huts. It was winter, and they were deep in debt for their passage, but they had life, they had God, and they had His provision, and they had faithfulness. They had God's faithfulness, and so they gave thanks. That kind of frames things a little bit, doesn't it? It's not like everything was just peachy. But God was there, and that makes, that again gives them cause to be thankful and know that they got hope. Now, the pilgrims, you should be aware of the fact, this was the first day of Thanksgiving that we talk about, but you have to understand that Puritanism, as they did it, actually giving thanks and doing days of Thanksgiving was actually part of the things that they did. In fact, they had days that they would proclaim for Thanksgiving and days that they would proclaim, and we don't talk about this as much, for fasting and humiliation. They called for days of Thanksgiving when things were going great, when something neat happened, something wonderful happened, bumper crop, day of Thanksgiving. We didn't die in the plague, day of Thanksgiving. That's great. But they called for days of fasting and humiliation when things were not going well, whenever there was a crisis. And in fact, it was observed that the people started to get tired of all these days of fasting because it turns out that because of sickness, because of poverty, because of crop problems and that sort of thing, they actually proclaimed an awful lot more days of fasting and repentance than days of Thanksgiving. But I do think it's interesting that, again, we talk about, and everyone wants to celebrate giving thanks. No one wants to celebrate or talk about this background of saying things aren't going right. We need to see if maybe we're not being right with God. We need to maybe turn ourselves and ask God, hey, are we not doing something right here? But that has historically been a part of it. The fast and Thanksgiving of 1631, 10 years after the first Thanksgiving that we celebrate, John Winthrop, governor at the time, realized in June that the colony was not going to have enough food to make it through the winter. He could take a look at how the crops were doing. They weren't doing so good. And so he dispatched the ship, the Lion, to go back to England to please buy food because come December, we're going to be running out. The Lion was delayed. They found a ship that had lost its mast, and so they towed that ship back with them, and that slowed them way down. There were some problems with weather, and so they didn't run out of food by December because they went on to starvation rations. But by about December, January, the poor people were pretty much eating acorns and clams. And you got to think about that for a moment. That, first of all, not only gets tiresome, that's not the greatest nutrition. And John Winthrop himself had given out and distributed as much of his own food as he possibly could as well. So all of them were facing starvation. They were just absolutely down to the end. The Indians no longer had any food to trade with them. No one had any surpluses whatsoever. Long about December 2nd or so, Winthrop and company assumed the Lion must have been lost. And so we're going to starve to death, but maybe God can yet bring deliverance. So they proclaimed a day of fasting and repentance. And they observed a day of fasting and repentance. And 2 days later, they had scheduled that they would do another one in about a week. So, you know, they were still 5 days out from their next day of fasting and repentance. God, please look after us. It's easy to proclaim a fast when you're starving. Because there's no food. All right. 2 days after that first day of fasting and repentance, as John Winthrop is handing out his last handful of meal to a starving poor person, he looked up and saw that the lion had pulled into the harbor, and it was full of food. And so they rescheduled that next day of fasting to be another day of thanksgiving, because this is how it worked. Okay? And built into our heritage, in our national relationship, we have tied good times to God's grace. Thank you, God. But at an earlier time, not so much now, but at an earlier time, we'll probably get back to this, bad times have been tied to our faithlessness and our need to turn to God and ask for forgiveness and, Lord, show us where we need to repent. Now, this is not just colonial America. Perhaps you all have encountered Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving Proclamation. We like to read it occasionally, from 1863. And he talks about how, even in the midst of a war, we have seen an increase in our population and an increase in our productivity in our farms and an increase in our output in factories. And he ends up saying, no human counsel has devised nor hath mortal hand worked out these great things. They're the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. And so he goes on to recommend that the last day of Thursday in November would be a day of thanksgiving and praise to God. And at the same time, interestingly enough, in Lincoln's proclamation, he went on to say, I recommend that while offering up these ascriptions justly due to him, giving thanks to God, that they also, with penitence for our national perverseness. Whoa, wait a minute. Yeah. With the spirit of repentance, Lincoln says, for our national issues, right? Perverseness and disobedience, commend to his tender care all those who become widows, orphans, all the people in need. So even then, there was this sense of giving thanks to God, but turning to God and confessing. And in fact, what you need to know is 6 months before this, Lincoln and the Senate, really, yes, had actually called for a national day of fasting and humiliation and prayer. And what was stated in that one is interesting. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace, multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. We forgot God who made us big, and we need to turn back to Him. We had the willingness to do that just, 150 years ago? The Civil War? Because built into our heritage is a national relationship with God that ties the good times to His grace. And the bad times to our faithlessness and the need to turn back to Him. Well, let me tell you, 71% of Americans believe the country's headed in the wrong direction. I'm not going to ask you to show hands whether you think that it's headed in the wrong direction or not. Don't know if you're among the 71% or the 29%. Don't care. I got my guesses. But if you don't like the direction that things are going, and if you aren't particularly happy with the choices that some of your leaders are making, you fill in the blanks which ones, because I really don't know which side of these fences that everyone is entirely on. You do realize that one of the judgments that God used in the Old Testament upon His nation when it was faithless was poor leadership, right? You knew that, right? That's in Isaiah. So one of the questions that remains is, if you believe that the nation is headed in the wrong decision, what will you do? Gnash your teeth, pray for them to get a clue, or will you first of all pray and ask God, what do I need to learn from this? How have I been walking with You? Have I remembered You the way I should? I will maintain that we have, as a nation and even as individuals, we've forgotten the Lord in all our abundance. We have We could spend all day Thanksgiving Day talking about all the different amazing things that we've got that no one in history really has had up until the last 100 years, 150 years. We have forgotten the Lord in our abundance. And I think as a nation we need to pray that we would remember where all this stuff has come from. All skill, all science, all provision, all blessing, moral sanity. Of course, we need to return our general public to moral sanity, because if we won't become self-policing, we're going to need to be a totalitarian state instead, because what we know about human depravity. I don't want to live in a totalitarian state, but if the people will not behave themselves as a massive general rule, that's going to be about the only thing that will keep them in check. We were able to be a nation with as few laws and as few police officers because of the reasonableness of the people. Around 1900, it was observed, you realized if we go as being recommended that we remove the Bible from public education, that we will go broke paying for all the jails. This was said about the time of the 1900s. On the one hand, we're spending an awful lot on jails, and on the other hand, we're not jailing people. But we need to, or do something. We have not inculcated even just the basic gift that God gives in telling us there's a right and wrong. We need to. But it begins with you and me. And if you want a great indicator of all of this, a plague has hit us. Has a plague hit us? Yes, a plague has hit us. And I think that we have a great example against human hubris. Because so many of our nation has said, we're just going to scientifically find a way out of it. Now, I am not necessarily coming out for or against the shot or anything else. But what I find really in the midst of it is here we have a plague. And all of our efforts that we've got going on, even in the nations that are doing absolutely the best they can, they're being beaten by a virus they can't even see that has no brain whatsoever. We are not as strong as we think we are. We are not as big as we think we are. And we have somehow thought in our own cleverness we can make it on our own. And I think at some point maybe the Almighty's just stepped back and said, try it. And I think all of us do need to not put faith in our own cleverness, our own economic prowess, our own a lot of other stuff. Pray, confessing your own sinfulness and forgetfulness of God's hand, and pray for the heart and soul of our nation. Because we need to consider anyway, how do I need to be turned back to you? But we need to pray that our nation be turned back to God. We really do. Because that's where our own hope is going to be. To all of these deep sins, Jesus invites us. And he says, come and be healed. Come and be forgiven and free. I would invite you to turn to him and be healed and forgiven and free. I will tell you that our Puritan forebears, to the degree that you are at least spiritually or nationally descended from them, would have felt that a national day of Thanksgiving every year on the same day would be absolutely nonsensical. They would not understand, and they certainly wouldn't understand how we keep it, but that's another problem. It would make no sense, they would say, because we have no idea what would be going on in the national life next year at this same time. Maybe things would be going great. Maybe things would be going rotten. We don't know. Why would you set aside a day for Thanksgiving unless you know that there's reason for Thanksgiving? Maybe you need to be turning to God instead. Well, I think that there is a way that we can combine all of this, and we can still do that if we adopt a bit more of a broader perspective, that we find combining the New Testament perspective maybe a little differently than the Puritans would. So first of all, our passage there from 1 Chronicles was a praise psalm that David gave to Asaph and put Asaph in charge then of leading the worship, because they finally got the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem and he wanted the symbolic presence of God in his capital city. And the interesting thing about David is David was someone who could be brought to heel, right? He messed up with Bathsheba and he accepted God's correction. And at the same time, we get a lot of praise songs out of David and thanksgiving out of David. Not many ancient warlords, by the way, were excited to have anyone tell them no. David loved God. And so we get in there the call to give thanks to the Lord, tell the nations what He's done, to glory in His name, rejoice in His strength, remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgment He has pronounced. What wonders has the Lord done in the past, in history, in the Bible, and in other places? Do you know wonders? Can you point to a list of miracles that you've heard of? Some miracles are very, very large screens, silver screen sorts of stuff. Some are every day, right? Noah's Ark and the flood. That was pretty large screen, right? Not very many of those. Deliverance from famine? More local, right? Can you think of stuff that you've seen God do in your life? I bet you can. As we head towards Thanksgiving, do that. Remember and declare to yourself and maybe the people at your Thanksgiving table, what's the good stuff that God's done that you've seen Him do? There is continued calls then for giving thanks to the Lord. Forward, not back. And praising the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Right? You can cry to salvation from Him, and you can praise Him because He is faithful even when we're not. And the proper attitude for the people of God to have, whether we are being turned back to Him or whether we are just rejoicing in His goodness, is thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, you've turned me back. I didn't want to go that direction. Thank you, Lord, that you have even brought me low so I could realize my need to turn. Yeah, punishment can be a good thing if you realize that what you were doing was destructive. Glorying in His saving goodness. Not just being thankful for it and glorying in it. That's a wonderful thing. Beyond that, I will go so far as to then bring in an extreme case in point for how we can look at this thing, whether good times or bad. It's a trope. You know the trope, right? Can't really see them terribly well because it's a bright day. But you got a couple people by a burning trash can. Why? That's a trope. You know, poor people or homeless people or something like that. People gathered around and it's cold and it's night and they're gathered around the burning trash can to keep warm. Step yourself from an imaginary perspective into this for a moment. Let's imagine that some of the worst things that people dread have come about. The economy possibly is tanked. The building is gone for us to meet in, whether because it's been taken from us or because it's just gone because of other circumstances. Suppose what we've got in the midst of just trying to scrape by to gather round is some burning bonfire just to keep warm at. Would we continue to meet? I'd like to hope so. Would we continue to give thanks? I hope so. Because I have read and I believe. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. And we know also, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, whether it's bad leadership, bad economics, a plague, whatever it is, none of that will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I know, even if we lose everything, that God will use it ultimately for our good. For our prosperity in this world, not necessarily. But we can entrust ourselves to Him and His goodness. And I think that's something to lean into, even if we deal with fears. And I would say additionally, there's a common thought and attitude that we frequently have that this also helps to undo. Have you ever looked at something and said, nothing good can come from this? Or maybe nothing good will come from this. You ever notice that? Ever had that thought? You see it in the news. Some person did something really stupid. Or you see it in your everyday life. Some person does something really stupid. And it's worse if you warn them, please don't do this. This will end badly. Have you thought this? You've got a list. I know. Some of you have got more of a list than others. Some of you, right? And what ends up happening from there? We oftentimes, it's not just, well, I really hope nothing bad comes from this. No, we move into hoping that something bad comes from this. Because we said something bad's going to come from this. And we don't want to be wrong. Right? And so we want this person to finally get what's coming to them. Or we want bad to happen from it. Or there's no way anything good can come for our nation from this at all. And it's all doom. And we just hold on to this thing almost as an article of faith. We would be disappointed if things went well. Why is that? Why do we hold on to the idea that nothing good or can or will come from this? If we believe in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. Think about that for a moment. In all things, God works. We don't have to say in the good things, God is working for your good. Because you'll say, yeah, in the good things, God's working for my good because it's good. No, this is for when the bad things come. And yet we trust in all things, God is going to use this somehow for my good. I'm going to trust Him in that. God is very good at taking bad things and making good come out of them. How do we know this? Well, because, frankly, the Lord can bring salvation to us out of the death of His Son. And if the Lord can bring salvation to us out of the death of His Son, I guess He could probably bring good out of just about anything if we will let Him and trust Him. He's well skilled at bringing good out of bad, especially once His people repent and pray. So on the one hand, I'm going to tell you, have a warm and fuzzy Thanksgiving. I absolutely mean that. In the days ahead of time, wonder and pray how you are with God. You know, and pray for our nation that be turned. But especially on Thanksgiving, give thanks to God. Because He has made an awful lot of good come out of bad moments and bad decisions. And trust Him that He will do that. But above all, continue to give thanks to God for His goodness, because His steadfast love endures forever. Lean into Him for forgiveness. Lean into Him for hope here and beyond. And praise God for the sounds of little children and life and the blessing that they are. No, really, she's fine. I have been enjoying this. God help us the day we do not enjoy that. Because it's the sound of life. Praise God for all things. Oh, we're moving the wrong direction. Come on, remote, you can do better than that. It's still going the wrong way. Spend some time thinking about your own need to repent and our nation's need to repent. We've forgotten God and His provision of mighty hand. That's very true. Pray about that. Think over the good things God has done in history and be able to list them off. Come up with your list. Share them over the Thanksgiving meal. It might slow you down some and you might not eat as much as you might otherwise eat, and you might not feel as over full afterwards. Might not end up in a... No, you're probably going to end up in a turkey coma. Pray for these difficult times in light of Romans 8, 28, and 38 and 39, that God in His love would bring good from it, though it may not be the good that we would first choose or expect. Let's pray now. Lord God, we thank You for Your loving kindness. We thank You for a heritage that ties our destiny to You. Lord, I pray that You would help us to return to that perspective more as a nation and more as individuals, that we would not forget You as much as we do, that we would give thanks to You for all that You have done. Thank You for a historic heritage. Lord, connect us to the best of it, but ground us first and foremost in You. Thank You for Your word, which is true. Remind us of Your great love. Keep us in that great love. keep us looking to you for forgiveness and life and peace, both for us and for our nation. Thank you for the gift of life and new life and young life and a host of other things now, we pray in your name. Amen.